Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise the Lord, folks. Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest, one of the most informative radio programs in all of radio land, where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. It's been in the news, a lot of people talking about Paul Walker. He was most known for being a lead actor in the Fast and Furious series of movies. Paul Walker's sad demise happened just days ago when his Porsche, he was a passenger. Many people think he was driving, but he was actually a passenger. Actual race car driver was driving the Porsche, slammed into a light post. And tragically, both of them, autopsy reports, Paul was charred by fire as well as bludgeoned with metal and debris. And the other gentleman also died in a similar fashion, obviously. Paul Walker's death, as well as his friends, along with other people we can think of that we know personally who had died tragically all at once, it should be a wake-up call to all of us. The media kind of presents the world as though we just go on and that we're forever young and that, you know, summer never ends. And the reality is that people are dying thousands of times a day. Obviously, we're going to die at one point. And the reality is that we never know exactly when we're going to die. In fact, Paul Walker, a friend of his, where the charity event that he had left before the Porsche crashed, said that he was in the vehicle and stated to him and others, "Hey, I'll be back in 5 minutes." And he said it never happened. And he said he actually heard the explosion, the revving of the engine and the explosion just minutes later. So tragically, I mean, we don't even know if we have another day. Paul Walker didn't even have 5 minutes after that. And we have to realize that we need to make sure we're ready to meet our God. And most people aren't, because Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go that way, but," he said, "enter the straight gate, for straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it." And Jesus is the life. He's the one that created us. He is the one from which all life is derived. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and that he that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." And I don't know. I hope Paul Walker was a Christian. It seems from his testimony that he'd become a Christian relatively recently. And I, you know, love hopes all things, so I sure hope that was true. In fact, he said, "I'm a Christian now." In fact, he went on to say something interesting. He said, "The people I don't understand are atheists. I go surfing and snowboarding, and I'm always around nature. I look at everything and think, who couldn't believe there is a God? Is all this a mistake? It just blows me away," end quote. So Paul Walker is saying, you know, he's dumbfounded. He can't understand atheists, how you can, because he's around, you know, nature all the time. A lot of your atheists are looking at computer screens and, you know, blogging and stuff like that, and they're not around all the evidence of creation all around them that screams like a megaphone that God exists. There's many megaphones. There's the fact that there's meaning in life. There's purpose in life. If there were no God, there'd be no meaning. There'd be no real purpose in life. The fact that we have a conscience that tells us there's right and wrong dictates to us there's a moral law, and we appeal to a higher morality than we're often able to keep. That points us to a creator. God's word, of course, the revelation of Jesus Christ, prophecy, and give all kinds of evidences. But one of God's megaphones that he exists is the creation. In fact, the Bible tells us the sun and the moon, the stars, night after night and day after day, they're constantly telling of the glory of God. And Paul Walker, as a non-Christian, he said, "I'm a Christian now," because he said, "I can't understand atheists because I'm around nature all the time." And he says, "Who couldn't believe there's a God? Is all this a mistake? It blows me away. Not just the fact that there's a creator, but and that it's so obvious, but it blows him away that anybody would deny that such a powerful creation would not need a creator. Now, interesting, Paul Walker's strong conviction that the creation points to creator, Paul Walker is in strong company. In fact, the Apostle Paul stated that those who deny the creator in the face of the evidence are under the wrath of God because it's a moral decision they're making and not really scientific. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and by the way, Paul Walker's conviction and what he got out of seeing nature that there's a God actually is a great illustration of what Paul says here in Romans 1, beginning at verse 18. Paul stated in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God, he said, is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. End quote. In other words, people will not be able to, you know, stand before God and say, you know what, I was taught in my biology class by my professor that you didn't exist, that everything was just a result of some big explosion, and then somehow life came out of material, even though that's Louis Pasteur and others had proven that to be a lie long ago. You don't get life from non-life, folks. That's why you needed God to create life, the ultimate life. And anything that begins has to have a beginner, okay? God never began, so he doesn't need a beginner. But we had a beginning, and life, we know, doesn't come from non-life. So it's interesting, the Apostle Paul says people are without excuse, and that Greek word he uses in regard to them suppressing the truth, it's literally a word that means to actively hold down. Think of a kid that's holding down a jack-in-the-box to keep it from popping up. Well, this is what atheists do with God. They're holding him down, hoping that he won't pop up, trying to destroy. In fact, many of them spend their lives and spend an awful lot of time trying to rid themselves of the fear that God doesn't exist, and they make it their life's duty. In fact, the poster boy of atheism today, Richard Dawkins, his whole life is dedicated to trying to hold down the evidence of God's existence. Now, it's interesting. Paul Walker wasn't just in the company of Paul for stating that the creation is obvious evidence of the creator, but it's interesting because the two greatest scientists, arguably, who ever lived, both believed in the creator. They believed in a creator. Sir Isaac Newton, often considered the best scientist, the greatest scientist who ever lived, and Albert Einstein. Others believe he was the greatest or second to Newton. Both disagreed strongly with atheism. In fact, Sir Isaac Newton declared, quote, "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being," end quote. While Einstein's concept of the creator is hard to pin down, and by no means was he a Christian, he was absolutely not an atheist. In fact, Einstein went so far as to claim that atheists are blinded to God's creative power, stating, quote, "The fanatical atheists are like slaves," said Einstein, "who are still feeling the weight of their chains, which they have thrown off after hard struggle." Einstein goes on to say of atheists, "They are creatures who, in their grudge against traditional religion as opium of the masses, cannot hear the music of the spheres." Einstein actually even grew angry with atheists who would invoke his name to deny the existence of God by claiming that he was an atheist. He became angry because they were bearing, in Einstein's view, false witness. In fact, Einstein stated, quote, "In view of such harmony in the cosmos, which I, with my limited human mind, am able to recognize, there are yet people who say there is no God." This is Einstein. "But what really makes me angry," says Einstein, "is that they quote me for the support of such views," end quote. I've even seen Richard Dawkins try to claim that Einstein was an atheist, where Einstein clearly here is angry at people like Dawkins who try to use his name falsely. He denied he was an atheist. In fact, another untruth that's often stated by people that seek to turn people away from God is a huge deception that modern science supports atheism. Einstein himself once believed in what was popularly called at that time the steady state theory, or the belief that the universe had no beginning, therefore you didn't need a God, and that that matter was, you know, didn't come into existence. It was never came into existence, had no beginning. Einstein ended up calling the steady state theory, or his belief in it, his biggest blunder. In fact, almost all scientists today acknowledge that there was a beginning, that the universe had a beginning. Of course, modern science finally caught up with the Bible. God's word has long ago said, in fact, the very first verse of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created." Now, it's interesting because you really only have two reasonable choices, because we know that matter came into existence. We know that we can't create matter, but we know it had a beginning. And we know that entropy in the third law of thermodynamics is at work and that everything's running down. It will have an end. And the Bible also speaks of that. There's no steady state theory to be spoken of. So since we know that matter didn't exist, space, time, matter, all didn't exist. They came into existence. The universe came into existence. There was a time when they didn't exist. And that matter and time and space came into existence. You really only have two explanations. Either they were created, or since they didn't exist, they came out of nothingness, literally nothing. That's the two views. Those are really the two only views you have to adopt one or the other. Either someone created everything, the whole shebang was created by a creator, or it simply popped out of nothing. Now, obviously, some scientists are so committed to materialism or a presumptive or a priori anti-God worldview that they would rather exercise blind faith because, folks, it takes a lot more faith. You have a lot more faith if you believe that everything came out of nothing, literally nothing created everything. That's a way bigger miracle and a lot more faith than believing that God, an intelligent designer, all-powerful creator, created everything. Now, it's interesting because Richard Dawkins believes that literally nothing. Now, he's a poster boy for atheism. He believes that literally nothing made everything. Absolutely ridiculous. He states, quote, "The fact that life evolved out of nearly nothing some 10 billion years after the universe evolved out of literally nothing is a fact so staggering that I would be mad to attempt words to do it justice," end quote. Notice what he does. He's being a little clever right there. He's saying, it's so staggering to think that everything evolved out of literally nothing, which, by the way, folks, science proves that nothing produces nothing, okay? And since he has to believe this to keep his anti-God viewpoint alive, and that's why I said he has way more faith than I do, at least blind faith, because I have real faith based on objective evidence that I see design, therefore there's a designer. He says, "It's a fact so staggering that I would be mad to attempt to use words to do it justice," as though he could wrap his brain around it, as though he has thoughts that could even possibly be put into words. Obviously, he has no thoughts that can be put into words, so he doesn't even attempt to do it because it's not scientific at all. It's a fairy tale for adults, folks, that everything came out of literally nothing. In fact, you know what? It's like believing a magician pulls a rabbit out of a hat. But it's worse than that because at least the magician has himself and a hat and a rabbit and thin air. He's got air. The air is something to pull the rabbit out of. Dawkins has absolutely zero, nothing, and he's claiming that that's how the universe, look around, folks, came to existence. You can look at nothingness until you die, and nothingness will not ever even produce a seed or a piece of sand, folks. Folks, we'll be back in about 30 seconds, so that's pretty quick, so don't touch that dial, and we'll talk more about the fact that, you know, creation, as Paul Walker, who just died, said was so obvious to him that he can't even fathom, understand those who would be atheists.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. We've been talking about Paul Walker and the megaphone of God's creation, how it just speaks of the power of God, and many were happy to hear, how could you not be, that Paul Walker, not long before he had died, he had claimed to have become a Christian, and he had stated that, you know, what he doesn't get, what he doesn't understand is atheist. He says he looks around when, you know, he goes surfing, because he spends so much time in nature, you know, up in the snow and stuff, you know, snowboarding, and he says, "I don't understand how you can be an atheist. It's so obvious," he said to himself when he looks all around. He just doesn't get how you can be an atheist because the creation is just so beautiful. It's such a powerful, you know, conviction. It shows us that God exists. And we've been looking at scripture. We've been looking at how Albert Einstein said he gets angry when an atheist tries to evoke his name, and that atheists are blinded to the music of the spheres. We looked at Sir Isaac Newton. Many would say that he was the greatest scientist that ever lived, and that when he looks at the universe, it can only proceed from the mind of God. And I also said, hey, there's really only two choices, because you see, Einstein had held at one time to the so-called steady state theory, as I was mentioning, which is the idea that, hey, there doesn't need to be a creator because nothing had a beginning. The universe has always been here. But that's been roundly rejected by modern science, which now understands that the universe had a definite beginning and that matter and time and space did not exist at one time. So you only have two choices, really. Either it was created or nothing Literally nothing created everything. That's why atheism is an untenable position. You see, because we've proved long ago, you don't really have to think about it much, but you just think a little bit, nothing can produce only, really can't even produce anything else, can't even produce nothing. It is nothing by definition. And but you only have two choices. You're going to have to either admit there's a creator, and a lot of people don't want there to be a creator because they don't want to have to submit to his moral law, and they want to imagine that they're not accountable to him. It doesn't matter. You can do all the dreaming and fantasizing that you're not accountable all you want. You can say that gravity doesn't exist, but then if you jump off a building, think, I'm just going to fly. Gravity does exist. There's going to be a rude awakening at the end of that fall. And guess what? At the end of a person's life, if they want to imagine that God doesn't exist, they're going to face him. In fact, I quoted where Paul said, the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who deny the Creator, and they're without excuse because he's made it evident in the things that he's made. But I was just quoting Richard Dawkins, who, and that's in the first part of the program, so I won't give the whole quote again, but he says that the whole universe evolved literally, quote, literally, he says, out of nothing. Now, it's interesting because even Dawkins has to admit that the evidence is compelling. In fact, Dawkins knows deep down that there's a creator. I believe that because the Bible clearly says that the evidence is being held down. I know that when I was agnostic and I didn't want anything to do with God when I was young, I was holding down the evidence. You know, I would describe myself as more agnostic because I knew there was something, but I didn't want it to be the personal God that I ended up being. And then when I realized who he was, I was like, what was wrong with me? Problem was with me, not with God. Well, it's interesting. Dawkins confessed that it's, quote, terribly tempting, quote, unquote, to acknowledge that the universe had a designer. In fact, Dawkins further acknowledges this in his definition of biology. Listen to what the poster boy of atheism said in his book, The Blind Watchmaker, quote, that he said that biology is, quote, the study of complicated things which give the impression of having been designed for a purpose. Isn't that amazing? That's his definition of biology. The study of complicated things which give the impression of having been designed for a purpose. Now, because Dawkins doesn't want that to be true, he spends his entire life trying to turn people away from God, saying it's superficial because, see, there's some problems in some of these so-called designs because they have a problem here. Well, you know what? The Bible states that all of creation is groaning to be delivered from its present state of futility, and that because of man's rebellion against God, that there's been a mutation, a fall in nature, not an evolution to higher beings, but a devolution. That's why thorns and thistles come up in Genesis chapter 3, right after creation, sin enters into the world. Of course, we're going to see, what should we see if the Bible's correct? We should see glorious, impressive, just wild design, which we do. And if it's the Bible's true, we'd also see that design has had a fallen mutation, like thorns and thistles and pain and things that don't work the way they ought. And that's exactly what they see. It fits the biblical paradigm perfectly. But guess what? Doesn't fit the idea that Dawkins proposes. He posits that everything came out of literally nothing. That is absolutely ridiculous, folks. The advancements of modern science didn't only help Einstein realize that there was a creator and dump his steady state theory, but other academics, take for example, the top atheist of his time, Anthony Flew. He was the former boy of atheism before Richard Dawkins conveniently replaced him. Anthony Flew was the most influential atheist philosopher and debater for over 50 years, folks. His essay, Theology and Falsification, was the most circulated and widely read scientific article of five decades and was translated into 40 languages. However, owing to modern science, Flew came to a belief that indeed God must exist. In fact, much to the chagrin of many of his atheistic followers, Flew went so far as to write a book entitled, quote, There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. You see, folks, while the belief that nothing, literally nothing, as Richard Dawkins posits, made everything, has absolutely zero explanation power, Flew declared that he had come to the conclusion that there's a creator. He said, quote, the only satisfactory explanation for the origin of such end-directed, self-replicating life as we see on Earth is an infinitely intelligent mind, end quote. Note that Flew points out that these species are self-replicating. It's unimaginable that even one species would just evolve out of nothing, and then all of a sudden its counterpart with sex organs would be there right next to it, and that they would be attracted to each other, come together, and produce another life that could also self-replicate. But that's ridiculous enough, but almost every one of 1.4 billion species have a counterpart with an anatomy and sexual function and reproductive system to reproduce more life? Come on, folks. Come on, the gig's up. There's a creator. Come on, let's just be honest. There's a creator, and we need to bow down and recognize that he made us and that we need to recognize him. In fact, Anthony Flew, the former poster boy of atheism, explained, quote, "It now seems to me that the findings of more than 50 years of DNA research have provided materials for a new and enormously powerful argument to design." What's Flew saying? He's saying, hey, it's modern science that led him not to atheism, but away from atheism to theism, to a belief in God. In fact, even Richard Dawkins admitted, quote, "Some species of the unjustly called primitive amoebas have as much information in their DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas, folks." That's one DNA cell of an amoeba, folks. Bill Gates of Microsoft admitted, "Human DNA is like a computer program, but far, far more advanced than any software we've ever created." Ha! Folks, Bill Gates, he's like, wait, man, we have to design this computer software, but human DNA is way beyond anything that we've come up with, and we want to believe it came up with blind chance. It's a written code, folks. DNA, a 3.5 billion letter word, digitally encoded, encoded to what we would become. If you found millions of sets of Encyclopedia Britannica, which is dwarfed by the DNA molecule and the written code in your body, your DNA has way more information in it than millions of copies of Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's an accident, and it's all about who you'd become, what you'd look like, and everything else. If I showed you written instructions, volumes long of the space shuttle, and then showed you that it was on the space shuttle, would you say, well, yeah, that was all an accident? Folks, we know that this is slam dunk evidence of God, folks, because guess what? No written language has ever been discovered that was not written by an intelligent mind. Written language, it takes an intelligent mind to write it. And God wrote incredibly in-depth written language within your being, the very language that works, your DNA works with other aspects of your body to bring about who you are today. The gig's up, folks. Stephen Hawking at Millennial Address 2000 before Hillary Clinton, and he's considered the greatest scientist today. He admitted, quote, "At the moment, computers show no sign of intelligence. This is not surprising because our present computers are less complex than the brain of an earthworm, a species not noted for its intellectual powers," end quote. Folks, there is a creator. He is God. He revealed himself through his word. He's got an encoded word as to what you'd become in your DNA, but he also gives us his written word through the prophets. We know that because of the prophecies that have come to pass. He says, "I tell the end from the beginning and prove to you that I'm the true God," throughout the book of Isaiah and elsewhere. He revealed himself through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who over 500 people saw resurrected from the dead. These were witnesses. Many of these witnesses sealed their testimony, his own apostles, with their blood. Folks, eyewitnesses that give their testimony with their own blood that they've seen the resurrected Christ, that's indisputable evidence at a court of law. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ created us. He died for you. He's buried. He rose again. Thankfully, you don't have to be robbed of your hope. I hope, like Paul Walker, you come to the conviction, if you're not there yet, that there's a creator. And also, I hope, like Paul Walker claimed, that you will, like he claimed to do, become a Christian. God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us on the Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, press on your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and keep you in perfect peace. God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Comes down to just one thing.